hører nå på en podcast fra Ytre Randesund Misjonskirke. For mer informasjon, besøk yrm.no.
Dette en tale av Johannes Samritzer, og den holdt på engelsk.
All right. So some of you wondering about the rope, you will understand in a few minutes. But tonight I have a message that I call Rope of Hope, and that love always hopes. How many of you know that? And if you have no background in church whatsoever, I promise you, you will understand, okay? Promise you, you will get all of it. I grew up outside of church, and I heard the gospel for real when I was 19, 20, and my whole life was turned around. Me and my wife, we have been just been on this journey, just this amazing journey. And I want to tell you that if God could pick us and use us, I was a simple welder. I was welding kitchens, and my wife was a nurse, and he just picked us, and today we are enjoying life as missionaries all over the continent of Africa. If he could pick us, there is good odds for every one of you, all right? We are so thankful for the life we got to live, and I want to take you into to those times when you were really wondering if, you know, if God exists, is this real? I remember the first time I started thinking these thoughts, I was 15. I mentioned it to Tune up here because I got so overwhelmed, so this is very spontaneous. I was thinking about what we are in here and what we are experiencing together and all these friends I have received all over the world. I was walking from a pub in Austria through a forest strip. It was January, just like now. And all the stars were out, and I would stop at a certain point, and I would look up to the stars, and I had one of those existential moments. How many of you know one of those times when I was thinking, is God real? Does God exist? And I looked up towards the stars, and I was thinking, if you are there, do you see me? I know you've all been there. Doesn't matter who you are. And we've all been there when we have prayed, when we were a little tipsy, or we were pissed drunk, or we were in the mud to our waist because something happened in life. And I stood there and I looked up towards the stars and my tears started streaming down my face because something was drawing me. Something was touching me. And I said, If you're up there, can you see me? And have you got something for me in this life? And I know you've all been there, but at that time, I just had a hope. I didn't have faith, I just had hope. And I always say that we don't despise hope, because hope is the beginning of faith. So we don't despise hope. If you come here tonight with just a tiny little hope, congrats. Hope can do miracles for us. Hope can bring us somewhere. And in the Hebrew language, which the Old Testament, you know, we got 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. And the 39 books in the Old Testament were written in Hebrew. And the word for hope is actually in the Hebrew language, tikwa. And tikwa means rope, cord, or rope. And when you study that word, it's a pretty amazing word because, yeah, it says like this. It is so concrete that it is a rope that you have to tie or bind to something that you are waiting upon. You hear me? So hope is a rope that you have to tie to something that is stronger, that is bigger. Okay, so let me explain. Coming to a little bit of explanation, and then we're going to read the Word of God together. If I'm in a hole, and then all of a sudden Barbara shows up. Come here, Barbara. Jump up here. You can do it. And I'm in that hole, and all of a sudden I see Barbara up on the edge, and she throws down this rope to me. That rope gives me hope that I might get out of the hole. But when I look at Barbara, knowing I am, yeah, she's strong, She goes to the gym, but I'm double her weight. How many of you understand? If she holds the rope, I know I will drag her down too. So Barbara has to go and tie that rope and anchor that rope to something that is stronger than both her and me. That can be a rock. That can be a tree, right? And then she comes back and she says, "Don't worry, Johannes. I've anchored this rope of hope to a big oak tree. Well, now I dare to start to climb." So hope is a beautiful thing. When a rope dangles over the hole you are in, that's wonderful. But it's not enough in itself, but it is a beautiful thing to receive a hope in your heart. But that cord must be tied to something, and it needs to be anchored to something that is bigger than all of us. In Africa, we put a big cross on the stage. We are actually going to do it in the next festival. Thank you, Barbara. And then we tie the rope to the cross, because that's a beautiful illustration of what and how faith in Jesus begins. We tie our hope to Jesus, to his death, to his resurrection, to his life, to who he is. And when we start to climb, faith develops. All right? So follow me when I read the word of God to you. Are you guys ready for this? Yeah. There is an Old Testament book called Ecclesiastics. What do you say in Swedish? We say predikaren. Förkynneren. All right. So Ecclesiastics 9 says this from verse 3 to 5. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. How many of you have discovered that this world is pretty evil? I grew up with evil. Some of you have heard my story already. Mama was an alcoholic. She had many different boyfriends when I grew up. I don't know how many. They were either dealing drugs or selling drugs or in criminal stuff. My father and mother divorced when I was 5, and my dad was a criminal, and I saw a lot of evil growing up. And it says here that this is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. And the hearts of people, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live. When I think back on my childhood and my teenager years, I think about all that madness that were in our hearts. And I know that many of you can feel it, and you know it. And you heard Alexander here, right? He was in hell, and he was close to being suicidal. And yeah, he was suicidal, and he wanted to end his life. But then on Thursday night, he saw a rope dangling over his hole. When that rope got anchored, he could climb out. It says like this, it continues, madness in their hearts while they live, and afterwards they join the dead. And then he comes, but anyone who is among the living has hope. They have hope. And then it comes, even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. Sometimes it's good to just be a pit bull and not a lion and die before your time. How many of you get what I'm saying? For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten. All right. Some of you are wondering, what is he going to do with this text? Well, without Jesus, this is something that I just came to conclude at a very young age. Can I tell you the first time I saw through the adults? I was 14. I looked at my dad and my uncles, and I was thinking, they're talking about the same things as I talk about with my friends. They've gone nowhere. Nowhere. It's about the last party. It's about mechanics and cars. And it is about the next conca, the next girl. And I was thinking, all right, they made a vacation, maybe. They did something fun. They had a little hobby at the side. And I was thinking, so this is life. Nothing more to it. And I started getting super, super bored. I remember already at 14, I was thinking, despairing in my heart. It was just despair in my heart. Okay, madness, that's probably all we get. Let's be mad, let's be crazy, because that's all we get. The same destiny will overtake us all. But the Bible says that anyone who is among the living has hope. If you are alive and you are here today, and you are here today, I don't know how you came here. Maybe a friend bribed you. Or you made a deal or a pact with someone. But you are here because God wanted to let a rope dangle in front of your eyes in whatever hole you are in. That's the whole reason you are here. You can get out of the rat race. You can get out of the slippery hole you're in. You can experience something that is more than just being mad and crazy for a few years down here. There is purpose. And that's why Jeremiah, and let me read it to you, said in the 29th chapter, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And that is what I've heard in my heart tonight. Listen, it doesn't matter who you are, what background you have, if you grew up a Muslim, if you call yourself an atheist or a humanist. Listen, if you're among the living, I throw a rope to you today. You cannot climb that rope and trust this pastor. It doesn't matter if Johnny or Odvin throws you the rope, because they're not strong enough to get you out of your hole. But if Johnny, Odvin, me, or someone else can anchor that rope of hope that is dangling in front of your eyes tonight to something that is stronger than all of us, you have hope. And not just hope. You will have faith to climb out of the hole. It's very safe to say that please don't trust that I can get you out of the hole, because I can't. Don't trust me. I might slip. I might fall. And I might get down in that hole too. I always tell our people, because I've passed it for many years, that the only thing I can really promise you is that I will disappoint you if you look to me. But praise God, the message is not the pastor. The message is not the denomination or even the building or the church. Are you hearing me? The message is not that. The message is bigger than all of us. It's rooted in God's love for this world. It's rooted in Jesus Christ. And that's why my first point here tonight is that there is hope for your future. But that's not enough. Listen, number two, hope needs to be rooted in love. It needs to be anchored in God's love. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, Apostle Paul tries to explain to us that love is a powerful thing. It always protects, it always trusts, and it always what? Hopes. It always hopes. I can tell you this, that I got four adult children. I mean, two biological, two that we took in. But I can just tell you this, that if any one of them would go astray and get into addictions and live horrible lives, I would never stop hoping for a change. Parents that loves always hopes. God is a better parent than any one of us. And He, in His love, He has a future for you. He has hope for you. And He is believing in you. It always trusts. It always hopes. I love it so much. It actually says, it always perseveres. Never ever gives up. Well, hope needs to be rooted in love. Romans 5:5 says, hope does not put us to shame. If hope is rooted in love, it cannot put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who He has given to us. I remember when I prayed my first salvation prayer, this was, I say, my first salvation prayer because the first years were a little bumpy, as they can be for many of us. So we come again and we come again, but finally it takes root. We come again, and finally we are anchored. You know, if you've never really been loved unconditionally, it's hard to believe that there is such a love, that you can trust that kind of love, right? You think there must be something attached, a string, something, there must be something behind that you are a little suspicious. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, there are no strings attached to this love, but there is a solid rope anchored all the way into God's own heart. God loves. He loves the worst sinners. He loves beyond. All right. Romans 15 verse 13 says, may the God of hope. Isn't that beautiful that God is called the God of hope? The God with the rope. May the God with the rope of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in Him. So that you may overflow with what? Hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when I prayed my first salvation prayer, my heart was filled with His love. And with that love, a rope was anchored into God's love. There is no hope without love. And there is no faith without hope. So my conclusion here is this. Listen. Biblical hope can't exist without love and is the beginning of faith. Oh, I wish you could tattoo that somewhere on your body. Biblical hope can't exist without love and is the beginning of faith. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the love of God all over this place tonight. Tonight you won't be looking to the stars wondering if God has a plan for you or if you are included in His plan like I did walking home from that party. Tonight I will tell you, as a messenger of God, God has plans for you. There is a purpose for you. There is hope and there is a future for you. And you are more than just a number. You know, you're more than just a taxpayer in the Norwegian system. All right. This is beautiful. Hopes gives us boldness is my point number three. It's amazing that the word actually says that already hope, not even faith, gives us boldness, courage. It says in 2 Corinthians 3 in verse 12, therefore, since we have such a hope, such a rope, we are very bold. In Ephesians 1:18, Paul prays for all of us and he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope, the rope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people. So when the Holy Spirit comes in our heart, with that love that was birthed in God's own heart, came to a climax on the cross of Calvary when He shouted, it is finished. That love, when that love comes through the Holy Spirit and fills our hearts, some people ask me, what is salvation? I always tell them, Jesus cleanses you with His blood because you surrender and ask for forgiveness and then you receive the Holy Spirit. And you become a temple of the Holy Spirit. These two are connected. The Holy Spirit is always deposited in our hearts because of God's love. His unconditional love. And he pours out of that love into our hearts through his Holy Spirit. All right. Colossians 1:27 says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, this is all those that are not Jewish, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, and you that are Bible readers, the hope of glory. There is a rope in our hearts anchored to God's own heart. This is amazing. All right. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19 says, we have this hope, this rope, anchored for the soul, firm and secure, and it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Now, some of you may not understand what this is, but the Jewish people had a temple. And in that temple, they had an inner sanctuary where only the high priest were allowed to go once a year. They had to cast the lot before the Lord, and someone was going in with a yearly sacrifice and plead for the sins of the people. It was during those days that they were still sacrificing thousands of animals that could just cover the sins. But then Jesus came as the sacrifice once and for all and removed the sins. And when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible tells us that the curtain of the temple was torn into two. Now, I believe that the priests that saw this, they ran in terror, because it actually was a custom during the temple days that when the high priest went in behind that inner curtain to do his sacrifice, he needed to have a rope around his foot, because if he was not righteous or there was sin in his life that he had not come to God with beforehand, he would drop dead in the holiness and the presence of God. And they couldn't go in after him, so they had to pull him out under that curtain. Now, why are you telling me this? Well, the rope that was there to protect the priests from dying in the presence of God is no longer needed. Because when Jesus Christ gave his life as the sacrifice once and for all and shouted, "It is finished. Father God, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." The curtain tore and the presence went out. Now there is another rope behind that curtain. It is a rope of hope that is anchored in the very heart of God and Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And that anchor is there because your soul is like a JoJo and a roller coaster. How many of you know that? In the beginning, in my first weeks and months of faith, I thought I was a Christian one day, and the next day I wasn't sure. But every time I would go back to the gospel I've heard about Jesus and the cross, I could feel the rope and I could follow the rope to where it was anchored in the heart of God, inside of his own inner sanctuary. You need a faith that is stronger than just the fellowship of a church. Are you hearing me? You need a faith that is stronger than just the songs of the church and the people in the church. Alexander, listen to me. You have been surrounded by some good friends. Now hold on to them. But I can tell you this. You need your own relationship with the Word of God, with the Bible, and with Jesus Christ. If you have that, you will never, ever be shaken. Churches come and go. Denominations come and go. Priests and pastors come and go. Are you hearing me? But if you're anchored to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, to the hope of this mystery, to the hope of this glory, which is Christ, which is Jesus, dying for us, being raised from the dead for us. They can close down every church, but I still got church in my heart. Hallelujah. Lay later on when I came into faith, and I'm sorry to tell you, I met a lot of mean people in church, bad representatives of Jesus, and I met a lot of politics, and I met a lot of things that wanted me to run. But praise God, I was already anchored, not to the people, good or bad, but to the heart of God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And haven't I failed people and hurt people? Yes, I have. Haven't you? We are all just humans, right? And the poorest excuse for staying away from church is saying, I've been hurt by church. Can I tell you why? Because it gives away that you never got to know the gospel. Oh, that hurt a little bit. I was hurt. I was bruised. I was taken advantage of. You don't know what I've gone through. Well, you can play that record. Keep on playing that record. Or you can get to know Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and in Norway, and tomorrow, he's always the same. He never changes. He's an eternal rock. And he never fails. You have to build your salvation and your life on something bigger than fellowship in the church and programs in the church. In youth, listen, try to find what's behind the games and the camps. Are you hearing me? Because the entertainment that sometimes church provides, that's not really why you come, is it? You come because you want to get to know Jesus. I didn't come to church because I thought they were the coolest or had the most swag or were the brilliant people on earth. I came because I wanted to get to know God and get to know Jesus Christ. And I found him. Sometimes among weird people, spaceship weird people. But I found him. He was right there. Today, I might be a little spaceship weird too at times. Come with me to Africa and you'll see. But I can tell you this. Tonight, I know that many of you will anchor your rope of hope in God's own heart, who is a rock. You will anchor the rope of hope around the cross of Calvary Tree. And you will never be shaken. And you will experience true salvation. And you will start to climb and climb. It's amazing. I promised myself I should share some testimonies from Africa tonight. Can I do that? Sometimes when we put up our posters and we try to be more and more creative and more innovative with our advertisements in Africa. So we do all kinds of weird advertisements today. But people say that, I hear so many stories like this. I saw your posters, I saw your banners, I saw the TV commercial, or I heard the radio jingle, and hope rose up in my heart. There was a rope that was dangling there. There was something that I felt that I didn't know what it was. And I always tell them, hope, right? Yeah, hope. You know, hope is a very, very good word to use. Do you believe in God? I may not have the faith you have, but do you hope? Yeah, I hope. Hope everyone can accept. Hope everyone can agree upon. And that's all we need. We just need you to hope, and then we anchor that rope to something that is stronger than both of us, and faith will come when you start to climb. There was this teacher for the deaf. She saw our advertisements, and there was something in her heart that was different, she said, than from other campaigns or Christian advertisements that she had seen. And she had a hope in her heart that maybe she should take her students to our meetings. She did. She took the students and she did the sign language to them. And I spoke about healing and the miraculous, and she translated. She just had a hope in her heart. And on the third night, interpreting for her students, one of her students, 22-year-old, starts to both hear and talk. She took her students from her deaf school to the campaign, interpreting for them with just a hope in her heart. The next night, another 20-year-old student catched on hearing and started saying her first words. I met them both on stage with their teacher crying. And today they have shifted schools. They are in the schools for those that hear and talk. They are being educated because of a teacher that grabbed on to a rope of hope. I remember this church in the DRC, in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, that had a blind woman that they had prayed for again and again and again. But the church felt there was something special about what was coming to town. So they all joined in, 400 people, in prayer and fasting. And they told this woman in their church that had been a member for 20 years, blind on both eyes, that this is the event where God is going to touch you. Isn't this beautiful? On the third night, 400 people started jumping up and down in a crowd of 70 or 80,000 people, but we could really see them. It was a group of, you know, it was a little rave party in the middle of that sea. 400, it was all the church members, because the woman started to see light. The woman had her eyes opened, and it was not just one woman's joy. It was all her friends and all her companions. Are you here? Brothers and sisters from that church that were jumping with her. I met the woman. I met the pastor. And he told me, when we saw the advertisement, hope rose in our hearts, and we all knew this is going to be her moment with God. That church has doubled in numbers just because of this woman's story and testimony. Everything is possible, people, if hope enters your heart. If faith is too strong for you tonight, listen, I don't know where you're coming from and what you've gone through. If faith is too strong for you, no problem. If you have a tiny little hope, we will take that rope of hope and tie it to Calvary tree and tie it to God's own heart, and faith will come. Faith will be developed. Oh, I feel like just keep on telling you about the miraculous that we have seen. Sometimes there are so many, but you know, just hearing about the big numbers and the many doesn't really ever touch us. You know what I'm saying? It is when we get to know that single story, that person there, that particular person there. And I never forget. David, were you there when that thief jumped up and down? Were you in that festival when there was a thief that had been stealing for 10 years in town? Maybe you were not there. For 10 years. Julia, you were there. Thief. Broken into almost every home in that town. Known. But all of a sudden she stood there. And the Holy Spirit overwhelmed her. And she tied her rope of hope to Calvary tree. She started climbing. On day 4 in that festival, she was up on stage asking everyone for forgiveness. The whole town for forgiveness. And I could see some people were angry because they knew who she was. She was a master thief. But then a pastor went up and put her arm around her and said, and I was bold, if there's someone here that wants back what she has stolen, our church is going to pay for it. The love of the Christians, huh? The love of the people of God. Oh, I just wish to continue to tell you and tell you and tell you. But I will end with the most beautiful story. I have a mom that I had no relationship with when I grew up. I lost relationship with her when I was 5 because she loved the bottle more than us. She loved the boyfriend more than us. It's okay. She's alive, and if she hears this message, she's okay. We have already talked. We have forgiven one another. We love one another. She's okay. But I can tell you, she came to a place when she had run out of everything. You know, she was a good-looking party girl for many years. But you know, a time comes when you're not picked on the dance floor anymore. A time comes when you're not looking the way you always are used to look, and things doesn't function the way anymore that they functioned before. And she ran out, and she was left by one of her boyfriends in a trailer park. He took the car, left the trailer, and she had no money. And he had taken loans in her name, and she was in debt, and there was no way out. My mom tells this story much better than me. I wish one time I could bring her here and let her tell it. But this is what happened. She went out of the trailer, and she had one thought in her head. I will call my little brother, and I will ask him to come get me and drive me to my son Johannes. And he is going to tell me about Jesus. And I will come out of this mess. She said once she thought that thought, she had the rope of hope in her hands. She was not there yet. She had not experienced salvation yet. She had not experienced the miracle of God yet. But just that thought kept her going. Now, it's back in the days, you know, when we didn't really use the cell phones. But we had the phone booths, do you remember? With coins that you put in. But mom had no coins. Mom had no coins. She was going through that whole camping area, that whole trailer park, on all four, looking through the sand for coins. She spent hours doing that. And she said, when I was on my knees, digging for coins in the sand around the kiosk, around the phone booth, down at the beach, I felt hope. She'd never been more degraded, never been more down in her life, but she felt hope. And I know some of you are feeling that hope right now. There's hope in your heart. Don't despise that hope. That is the beginning of the rope you will climb. Finally, she found a few coins. And she put them into the phone box. And she said, when she put them into the machine there to dial the number to her brother, she was already bawling. Because she knew that somehow she was now already connected to a good God. And she was sobbing to her brother. Could you just come get me? Now you're going to understand that her family had given up on her. They had given up on her. I promise you that if you just come, I won't mess it up this time. If you could just take me to my son Johannes, and he will tell me the gospel of Jesus. My uncle came, picked her up, and drove her to my place. She sat on my staircase. She had been cussing at me for years for my faith. She didn't want to hear anything about it. But now she was skin and bone. I don't know if you've seen a woman that have come to the end of herself. Skin and bone. Couldn't drink anymore, couldn't take any more drugs because nothing in her system functioned. She lit the cigarette, but she could hardly get it to her mouth. Have you seen a person like that? But I could see in her eyes, there was a tiny little flickering. There was hope. Hope. And I thought, we can build on that. Now, I had a hard time believing too, because if you've grown up with an alcoholic that have let you down again and again your whole childhood, I was thinking, I don't have much faith for this. And I could hear the Holy Spirit say, but do you have hope? Yeah, that's enough. So this is my absolutely brutal, honest story. I didn't really have faith for my mama's salvation, but I had hope. And so had she. She had hope. But I brought her to someone that didn't know her since before. My mother-in-law. Praise God for mother-in-laws that knows Jesus. Come on, somebody. Praise God. I've told you about my mother-in-law before. She always was too much. She was that hallelujah mother-in-law, dancing in the middle of the aisle, always too much, went to the wildest charismatic conferences. She was too much. But it's good to have someone that is too much when you just have hope. How many of you can feel me? If you just have hope, you know that someone that is a little too much has faith. So I got my mama in contact with her. And man, did mama meet Jesus. That were some jump cables, I can tell you, Odvin. Whoa! When I met Jesus, I had the same experience that my mama had. Because when I met her 24 hours later, and she said, I'm going to get baptized in water now, son. And her eyes were on fire. I was still not in faith, but I had hope. Mama got baptized. Mama experienced the Holy Spirit. She was anchored. Took me actually 3 years to really believe in her salvation. Sorry, Alexander, I believe in yours because I don't know you, you know. But that was hard. Today, Mama has been with Jesus for 20 years. But she's still so much ghetto. If you listen to her, she sounds like an elder in a church. But deep down, she's so much ghetto. You know what she did the last time she came with me to a festival in Africa? You know, everyone is standing. We have no chairs. There can be 100,000 people standing on a field. My mama went around like this. Who's responsible around here? A guy that was working on the rig said, well, I'm one of them. He had no idea who she was. Where is my chair? She said, there are no chairs. We're actually, the more people have fit them. No. I gave birth to the preacher that is preaching here tonight. Give me my chair. The poor guy had to go to a restaurant and rent mama a chair. I come into the field. There are thousands, but one woman is sitting on a chair. Mama sat in a chair. And I said, how did you get hold of it? Well, that guy pointed at one of Samuel's crew members. He rented me the chair. Because I told him, I gave birth to you. I deserve a chair. Hallelujah. She's anchored. She's more hallelujah than I've ever been. She's quoting scriptures all the time now. And I know that she's anchored with a rope all the way to God's heart, all the way into the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If you are among the living people, you have hope. You may not be a lion, but you can be a barking pit bull for Jesus. If you are among the living, you have hope. And tonight, as I'm preaching here, I'm throwing out a rope to all of you. I don't know what your hole is, but that rope is dangling in front of your eyes right now. And that little tiny hope you have in your heart, you're not going to put in me, nor in Odvin, nor in Johnny, nor in any pastor, any leader, or any Christian. Just let me go anchor it for you. Let me go anchor it for you at the empty cross of Jesus Christ. He might even come around it, resurrected from the dead as he is, and hold on to it. He might even look down the hole and said, come on, you can do it. Climb, son, climb, daughter. And when you get out of that hole, you will receive one big hug, not from a pastor, but from the resurrected Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for you.